Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. I love that little beat, I tell you. Just put a little skip, as they say, in your walk. Just keep hearing it in my head, you know. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and you are here on Blog Talk with mothers and daughters sitting around the round table. So, as I usually say, get your favorite drink, get a pen and a piece of paper. We have an interesting conversation this morning that's going to, I think, give you some insight for most of your relationships. You know, we specialize in mother and daughter relationships, but it expands far beyond that when it comes to the conversations that we have. It allow you to use those techniques in all of your relationships. And with that being said, let's just go to the Father and say, Father God, we thank you this morning for a blessed day. Father God, we ask that you bless each and every mother and daughter around the world and that it penetrates throughout the family, creating healthier families, stronger bonds, stronger generations, creating a better and healthier world. Father God, I pray that each of us, especially the mothers who bear the child and have 9 months to actually give that child, good or bad, the intent, the feelings, the emotions, that we be mindful and that we are concentrating and focusing on what you would have us do. Father God, this morning we ask you to bless every pregnant woman out there in the world, that she will know that she has been chosen for a special assignment, and that is to carry a vessel, the vessel of Jesus Christ, back into the world to do the work of the kingdom. And I thank you this morning for choosing me to be a mother, and I just pray and hope that I can continue to hear what you are saying to me, that I can feel it in my heart and speak it with my words. Because every day, Father, it's a new day, and every day we have to nurture our mother and daughter relationships, which will spill over into our grandchildren. And I just thank you for such a great assignment. Love you, and I know you love us. Blessings upon the families. And I just want to say for the families that are out there that breathing this morning, I've had several different calls this week. I just want you to know that God loves you. We love you. And mother, know that God would not put more on you than you can bear. I know that doesn't take away the pain, but I just want you to know that we here at Mother and Daughter, our hearts are for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, today, thank you, Father. Again, for the newcomers, I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and you're here on Blog Talk Radio, and you are listening to some exciting conversations. You will be listening to some exciting conversations today as mothers and daughters share their thoughts on our topic. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. I know it's Saturday morning, and I know people like to sit back, relax. You know, but I want you to understand that you are doing a work unto the Lord. When you come onto the radio program, when you listen, when you take the messages, even though, like I say, a lot of people are online, they listen, and I know you're sharing it. It's impossible to get good and not share. Everybody that has something good, the first thing you want to do is run and tell somebody else. Do you know I was on Blog Talk Radio this weekend, mother and daughter was talking about, and then you're going to spill it because you want to tell somebody. You can't keep the good. You know, you have to share it, or it'll just eat away at you. You know it's good. And you see a mother and daughter, and they're struggling in their relationship, and you come on here and you listen to the program and you get the information, you write it down, you can't help but share it. You'd have to be a very evil person to know you see somebody struggling and you decide, well, I'm not going to say anything to them. You know, that's not the way Christ was. You know, we got to preach the gospel. So when I get on here on Saturday morning, I'm preaching the gospel. The gospel is the good news that, you know, your mother and daughter relationship are key elements. The key element in the family, because the mother was chosen to bring forth a vessel of the son and the daughter into this world, onto this earth. So what a privilege. So there's a lot of responsibility that come with that too, and it doesn't end when the child is 18. So get over that. So many mothers say, you know, well, when he or she turned 18, my job is over. No, it's not. It just begun. My daughter's in her 30s, and I tell you what, we're still developing our relationship. And I like it like that because we're growing. Just imagine you have a relationship with someone and nothing is happening. It's just mundane, every day the same thing, the same way. That's no fun. So what, you have a couple challenges? Get over it. Deal with it. Because if you don't have challenges with your daughter, you're going to have challenges with the world. You're going to have challenges with people because we're all different. So you forget the people out in the street on your job, but, you know, want to hold it against your family members. Get over it. So you want to join us today? We've got an exciting topic. It's a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. That's right, a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. We are. You can call us at 347-539-5078, or you can and click 1 if you want to join in the conversation, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio, on your computer. Some people can pick it up on their phone. They have the app there, and you can look for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. Click that on, and you can catch us via the Internet. I just want to thank all of the people that are out there helping. I tell you, I have some wonderful ladies that are sticking with me through thick and thin. And we are we're riding in a boat, and sure, it shakes and it moves to the left and to the right, and it dips up and down. But you know what? We have wrapped the rope around our arms, and we are holding on because we see the land. We see the land, and it's just a matter of just getting this thing launched and reaching the land. But in the meantime, as I'm speaking, saying this, Jesus just said to me, just say peace. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Wow. That feels good, too. So that's a message for us all. If you feel like you're in a storm, if you feel like your mother and daughter relationship is out of control, just say peace, be still, and believe. Have the faith to believe. And watch the calmness come into your relationship. Invite you to join us, you know, to go in and see some of the things we're doing. You can go to www.askdrbessie.com. Excuse me. I know you hear me this morning. I sound off. My voice is scratchy simply because trying to catch something, I guess. But in the meantime, just bear with me. I've been preaching this for the last couple of days. So, oh, wow. If you would join me at looking at some of the things we're doing at www.askdrbessieshow.com, you see some of the things that are coming up. You hear the radio programs. You can go back and listen to some of the old ones. You can also catch up with some of the things we're doing with the television show as well. On May the 4th, we're having the Mother and Daughter Appreciation Day. We got so many things going here that I'm kind of reluctant to say because the television show is taking precedence over everything, but I'm going to relinquish the right to give you all this information today. The only thing that I'm going to give you today is basically the cruise. The Mother and Daughter cruise is scheduled for November the 17th through the 23rd. And if you would just go to, well, you can call Gina. Her name is Gina. She's at 813-868-0007. And tell her that you're interested in the Mother and Daughter cruise. Now, the prices may have changed. I know in the beginning we said it was $611.82. But, of course, if you didn't make your deposit in a timely fashion by the 8th of February, that price was subject to change. But give her a call and find out what the prices are and book your cruise. Take your mother, your daughter, your sisters, your aunts. Every woman is a daughter. So get ready and let's go cruising. We go into Kirks and Caicos and I think it's to the Bahamas. And there's another little place that we go and I can't think right off the top of my head. But regardless, if you're on the cruise ship, it's the Breeze. It's the newest, one of the newest ships that Conover has. It's a very large ship. Look at it. Go on Conover Breeze. Look at it and see what you see. And I think you'll like it. You want to join us, just call Gina, okay? If you want to call and leave me a message, you can call me at 786-462-6470. Or you can write me at Dr. Bessie, D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number one. at gmail.com. All right. And, again, I want to thank all the ladies that are helping, that are keeping the ambassadors up and running. You know, we're having some good times. We are producing and doing what we need to do. We're not actually producing the show, but we are actually putting this, our kick into it and making it happen. You know, Cynthia, that's all of the set and design, and she does a very good job at putting that together and making sure that everybody stays out of her lane, of course. And once she gets a take on it, she takes it and she runs. And Sandra D, she takes care of all of the social ills. And sometimes it's not very pleasant for any of us because we run into so many difficulties, things that we did not plan for, but that's a part of the business. And even myself, sometimes, you know, when we're running, we stay up late at night, we do whatever it is to make it happen. And I just publicly wanted to say thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Cynthia, for all that you do. I could not do it without you. You stick with me, and I appreciate you. I just wanted you to know that this morning. Again, our stimulating topic, it's a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. I also want to throw in Dorothy Westbrook and Janice Paldo. They are working, they are the cruise coordinators, so I don't want to leave them out. They're working behind the scenes, making sure that the cruise and everything is getting organized and working with Gina. So I appreciate you all for doing that as well. I can't do these things by myself. We need more and more people to come in and help us, you know. But one thing we do, we allow you to come if you want to come, you know. And those who come, we appreciate you, and we love you anyway. But we're going to keep it going, keep it moving. My co-hosts are Sandra D., Cynthia Oliver, and Janice Paldo. And Phil is sitting there for Janice sometimes. It's Dorothy Westbrook. So I'm not on the switchboard. I don't know exactly who's there, but I will look later. So if you want to join in on the conversation, just click 1. Sometimes people get that kind of mixed up. They call, but they don't know. They have to click 1 in order to participate. So that's kind of what where we are and what we're doing now. It's exciting stuff going on. I'm excited. I think the ladies are exciting. Does it move as fast as we want? No, but it's moving. Lord knows it's moving compared to where we were a year ago. So with that being said, I just want to say to you, I apologize for last week. We did not have a radio program last week because I find it hard to be in two places at one time. I don't have it down pat yet. since I was doing the radio program for about 4 years now. So I'm so used to doing that on Saturday mornings. But when we have a shoot, I don't have anybody that can fill in. So this is the thing that I'm looking for, that because Sandra and Cynthia is with me, and so therefore we're looking for some people that can help us do it. So we're working this out, and hopefully we won't have to skip a show. If we have to film a show, someone suggests that just actually film the radio program on Saturday mornings when you're shooting, and I think we may consider doing that, and that would be inclusive of the television show. Somehow or another, we can kind of use that, and we won't miss a beat. Okay, and I thank you for your patience. I thank you for coming back this morning. I know a couple of you texted me and said, where were you? And, you know, I went and there was no show, and let me be the first to apologize to you, and I'll be mindful of that because I don't want you looking for me. I'm always looking for you. Again, our topic, a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we're dealing with talking about the butt between a mother and daughter relationship. And I know some of you were saying, you know, but, what do you mean but? You know, because but can be taken so many ways. And the word but will erase everything that you said prior. So when we think that we have things lined up and we think that we are apologizing, or we think that we are forgiving someone, you know, you're saying the word, but see, what's in your heart will come out. And I've heard people, and when I'm doing counseling, I have clients that are telling me and saying, you know, I love my mother, and she's this and she's that, and all of this coming, and I could just feel it. I could feel the energy. I'm feeling that butt. And they'll go on and on and on and on. And finally, but. And I will say to them, see, what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. That but was in there. That but is doubt. So all that you said meant nothing. Meant nothing. You erased it with the but. I had a gentleman to text me. You know, we have gentlemen on here, too. Don't think that we're all ladies on this air. There are several men that listen to this program. They said we choose to not say anything because we listen to the ladies. And so we learn how to deal with our wives and our daughters and our female friends. This gentleman texted me. He said, I never thought about it that way. But I would never look at but the same way again. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I didn't even know he was on there. Undoubtedly, see, we have such a large internet group of people that I can't see on the switchboard. And I text them back and say, wow, thank you. I never look at but the same again. So we're not just only reaching mothers and daughters. We're reaching fathers and sons as well. They're out there. They're interested in what you have to say. So our job as mothers are to nurture both genders, the female and the male, because you don't know who God is going to assign to you. You don't know if God's going to assign you a son or a daughter. But the one thing you do know is that you, mother, you are a daughter. Every woman is a daughter, and every woman has a mother and daughter story. So keep that in mind. When we're talking about mothers and daughters, and you won't, a lot of times people think, well, you're just being one-sided. You're not talking about the son. No, I'm talking about what God asked me to talk about. You know, and I can't be one-sided. My daughter don't have a daughter. My daughter has two sons. So you know my heart is with my grandkids. You don't even have to worry. Anybody know me, know that. So if there's any exclusion, I won't make it, not when it comes to my grandsons. Trust me. So I feel that every grandmother loves whomever, girl, boy, whatever, but my mission is to speak to the mother and daughter, because the mother is the one, is the first initial contact with that child. And she has the most powerful influence of that child, especially during that first 9 months. Dad may rub the belly and dad may talk to the child, which is great, and got everything on. He's not with that child 24/7. That's 840,000 seconds a day for 9 months. Dad has to work. He comes home. He may spend 10, 15 minutes talking to the baby in one day. But think of that in the overall 24 hours, how much time that mother has with that baby. Okay? So when we say but, we're simply erasing all that we've said, and you've actually said nothing. So that brings us to a topic this morning, a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. Now, what stimulated this topic, I think it was just the fact that I was praying for a couple of people who lost their children this week. And my daughter called me, and her friend lost his son, and a very close friend of hers, and he and his family. A son that everybody looked at, everybody was chasing, everybody wanted to get him, play ball for them. He was an international name, but he was a junior in high school. So you know he had to be really good at what he did because, I mean, everybody wanted him, made international news, and he was playing ball. I think it was on Tuesday. And after the game, he fell dead. Now, this is a son that belongs to a family that saw his future. So I'm saying all that, and it disturbed me. I don't know why it got to me so bad. I guess because he's a friend of my daughter's, and she was disturbed. I was disturbed, you know, and I prayed, and I just kept saying, Lord, give them the strength, because they have had their trials and tribulations. As, you know, we all may say, yeah, we've had the struggles, you know, but you relate to all of the struggles, but I can only imagine losing a child. I can't even imagine that. So that brought in a thought to my mind, a wake-up call for mothers and daughters. You know, we sometimes get so busy in our thoughts that we don't stop and think. Nothing is more important than your relationship, especially with your children. Nothing. Nothing. I know sometimes I'm talking, I do a lot of counseling, and I can tell you a variety of situations. Mothers and daughters who just really are not willing to like each other. Mothers who have planned the life for the daughter, and the daughter has decided that's not what I want to do. Mothers who are reaching out trying to get to their daughters, and the daughters are saying, no, I don't want nothing to do with you because of the way you treat me when I was a little girl, or that you treat my brother better than you did me. I have individuals where they come to me and say, you know, I can talk to my mother on the phone, but when I get in her presence, we cannot get along 5 minutes. I have daughters that are crying, hurting in their hearts. They're still a little girl. All they want is that mother to love them. They want the mother to give them what they missed as a child. Now, the majority of these young ladies that I'm talking about are between the ages of 20 and 35. I have a young lady that says, as soon as I graduate, I'll be 18 in another month. As soon as I graduate, I don't ever want to come back to my mother's house. I'm there if I don't see her again. She's 17. I have daughters that the mother sent them off to college and they decide, no, that's not what I want to do. I'm grown now. I can go anywhere I want to go, and you think they're at college. And what am I saying? I'm saying all of that to say this. This is a wake-up call for you, mother. And I'm talking to the mothers because You have authority over your daughters. I had a mother, a couple of mothers, that have said to me, and said to the daughter in my presence, yes, I treat you different. Sure, I treat you different. The daughter confronted her. She said, yes, I do. I treat you different. And I'm listening to this. And I don't like being around you, the mother said. And then I have mother say, you know what? When you leave this house, you better make sure you make it out there. Because I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving. The daughter's crying. Well, what am I going to do? She says she's leaving. And then she's like, I'm like, so the last couple months, I'm thinking, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? And God placed into my heart, wake up call. I didn't know exactly what it all meant at the time, but it kept growing on me. Wake up call. Wake up call. Things are happening. And people are not paying attention. You're not noticing the signs around you. It's a wake-up call. Mothers, you are not perfect. And if you just took the time and examined who you are and those little hidden secrets you have within your heart, all the little things you think you, things that you thought you got by with, well, you didn't. There's a God that knows everything that you've done. And how dare you not forgive your daughter? I don't care what she's done. How dare you? You are here to set the example for the daughter. And if your daughter's not speaking to you, you do whatever is necessary to fix it. If you have to stay on your knees 24/7, because there's nothing like a praying mother. You can't control another human being, but you can keep her right in front of the Lord. You can protect her. You can bind Satan. You can send a love. You can send a peace. You can send a joy. It ain't nothing she can do about it. And if you have all your stuff right and you right with God and that's your child, she's coming in. It will restore itself, especially when you know you've done all that you can do. But to hear a mother say, no, I don't like you, no, I don't want to be around you, it tears my heart out, especially when I know that the child is still, even though she's sitting there, a grown woman, she's still a child. And all she wants is for her mother to be proud of her, for her mother to say, I love you. Do I approve of everything you do? Maybe not. And you don't have to. She probably don't approve of everything that you do. But it has nothing to do with your love for someone that God has assigned to you to oversee on this earth. Keep in mind, you are accountable for that child. And you can think that the child is grown, but you still are accountable. That mother and daughter relationship is an everlasting, lasting relationship through eternity. Not going anywhere. Now, you can have whatever kind of relationship you want to have. You can experience whatever you want to experience. But that mother and daughter relationship will never dissolve. It will last through eternity. The same with you and your son. So I suggest that you sit down and do a serious inventory of your thoughts. Write down what it is that keeps you from having that honest conversation with your daughter. You don't have to tell anybody. Just write it down. Just be honest with yourself. Write it down. Look at it. Do the discoveries of each situation. Discover why you have these thoughts and what are they doing to separate you from your mother or your daughter. And I'm saying this to the mother and the daughter. Write it down. Look at it. It's so easy to talk because we say things and just words coming out of our mouths and we think it's just cute. And I think what really got to me, I've never really, out of all the years, and I've been doing this since 1999, I've never had a mother or daughter sit down, and especially a daughter curse at the mother. Well, I have now. That's all I'm going to say. And I had to really sit down and say, you know what? We are Christian women. How dare you do something like that? Because you know what? Most mother and daughter relationships, like any other relationship, you got to work at it. And like I tell them, if you don't do the work, you're not going to get anything different. If you don't do the exercises, if you don't do the things that I suggest that you do, which I know has worked, I've been doing this for a moment, then you're not going to get anything. And we'll continue to just come together weekly and sit, and that's not what I'm about. So it's a wake-up call for mothers and daughters right now. I want you to look within your heart, and I want you to think about this. Supposing you lost your daughter or your mother. You found out they just dropped dead, wasn't sick. Would you be pleased with your relationship? Would you be at peace with your relationship knowing that you were honest and that you were doing the very best that you could? Or would you be tormented in your thoughts about how you treated that daughter or that mother? And get to the funeral and act a fool because your guilt is eating you up. It's not even worth that. And we can take it to a point where we can look at it where if Jesus did us the way that we do our mothers and our daughters, you know where we'd end up at. I don't even have to tell you. You already know. If Jesus can forgive us and everything that we've done, I bet you it's so similar to your daughter. If you think about it, as they say, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Everything that you've done, you usually see that in your children. The DNA reproduces after its own kind. If you ran around and you did all kinds of things, even if you have a son, you're going to have one that's just like you. And you know that too. You see it in them. You may not admit it. And a lot of times when I'm dealing with mothers and daughters, I notice that they're so similar, that's why they can't get along. Because the mother can actually see her mistakes in her daughter, and she's so busy trying to keep the daughter from making those same mistakes that she doesn't really know how to express herself by being honest and saying, you know what, let me tell you about me. Let me tell you what I've done. Let me tell you what I've done. And when you do that, that daughter's going to know, wow. Sometimes they think something is wrong with them. Why do I keep doing this? If you're honest, just say, wow, I'm not crazy. Thank you, Mother, because I thought I was crazy. These thoughts keep coming in my head. I'm doing so. Now she has a mother to talk to. Like I told my daughter, I don't want you to have the 30-year divorce. I've been through that. And I worked very hard at telling her, these are the things that you may not want to do. These are the mistakes that I've made. So that your generation won't have to go through what I went through. So do whatever you can to avoid the 30-year divorce. So I'm saying to you, wake up call. Because I surely hate that something happened to me and my daughter. And we had unfinished business. That's why I thank God. Every time it come across my mind, I just say, God, thank you for leading me to call my mother. I was on the beach walking, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, go call your mother. And I walked off the beach and went back to the house, and I called my mother, not knowing what to say. But I was led by the Spirit, and I just said, Mother, I just want you to know, out of all the mothers in the world, I would have chosen you. You're the best mother I could have ever had. And the one thing you showed me, you took me to Jesus. And I just want you to know, if something happened, and I wanted to say to you, but I didn't, something, no. I said, if something happened to me, I want you to know that I know that you're going to be okay because you have God. And if something happened to you, I want you to know that I'm going to be okay. You introduced me to God. You told me whenever I get in trouble, always call on the name of Jesus. You helped me become the lady that I am. And I just want you to know I appreciate you and I love you. And my mother started crying. Well, 7:15 the next morning, my mother was gone. I was on my way leaving around 7 o'clock, closing the trunk of the car, getting ready to get in, and I got the phone call. And that, to me, allowed me and my daughter to get up and do the eulogy for my mother because I had no regrets. I said the final words, and I was at peace. Does that mean I didn't miss her? Yes, I miss her. I miss her to this day. But that voice was a wake-up call for me. Go call your mother. And why am I telling you this? Because I know you hear the voice. I know you hear God talking to you, telling you, fix it. Call your daughter. Call your mother. Fix it. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. And when you wake up, you got to stay. Well, because you have got your children and your grandchildren. Now, how do you stay open and alert simply by staying in the Word? That will keep you alive and keep you close to the kingdom. Excuse me. So like I said, my heart is heavy this week. A mother lost her daughter. A mother and a son lost their, a mother and a father lost their son. And that's just people that I know. Not even talking about the ones that I hear about throughout the community. So I want you to take just 3 seconds And I want you to reflect back on someone that was very, very dear to you. That's not with you now. And as you prepare to go to that funeral, and as you sat in the church, and as you came past that casket, and you looked down on that person's face, how did you feel? Did you have regrets? Did you have something in your thoughts that said, I wish I had her? But now it's too late. I can't apologize. I should have asked for forgiveness. I should have forgave her, but I didn't. And that brought back a thought to me about a movie. I think it's Invitation of Life or something like that. I don't know. Most of my audience is probably too young for it. I don't know. I don't know who all is out there. But this was a young lady that didn't want anybody to know that the maid or family was her mother because she wanted to pretend that she was white, and she lived that life. And all of her life she was white, and she ignored her mother. But, oh, my goodness, if you get a chance to go look at that, I challenge every mother and daughter on this line, on the Internet, find that movie. Look at that movie, and it will change the way you think. Because when she got the word that her mother died, oh, yeah, it flashed back, and all the things, the nasty attitudes, the way that she treated her mother all came front and center. But it was too late. So as they carried the casket, she followed running and crying, that's my mother. But it was too late. It was too late. Now her mother's gone and in peace, and she's here, left on earth, living in hell in her thoughts. Now you say, well, what do I do if the person is gone? Get you a chair, pull it in front of you, and you sit, you look at that chair, and you speak to the spirit. You got to go to God. And you got to repent and you got to let it go. Forgive and let go. Not the but. Forgive and let go. Will that keep it from coming back across your mind? Probably not. But the one thing you can say, I'm free from that. I gave that to Jesus. And don't entertain it. Don't take it back. But you'll never be able to physically say to that person, I'm sorry. So why even wait till it gets to that point? The point that I'm making to you mothers. Today is the day. Why not make this day a wake-up call for yourself? You know you love your daughter, and your daughter know you know that you love your mother. Stop the nonsense. It's not even worth it. Have the conversation. Ask the question and listen. Don't ask the question and get to talking. Everybody's talking at one time. Get that little 3-minute sand glass and flip it over and wait. You can wait 3 minutes. This is a part of the work. You now got the work to do. And that's to sit down and have that conversation with your mother and your daughter. And before you can do anything, first in your heart, you've got to forgive them for whatever you think that they've done. Because you'll never be able to have the honest conversation if you go into the conversation with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the number one killer in any relationship. The number one killer in any relationship. You can't forgive a person, relationship is dead. And believe it or not, Satan will tell you 110 trillion ways. That's right, 110 trillion ways why you shouldn't forgive that person. I don't care which way you come, he's going to come with something else. Yeah, but you watch. Yeah, but just listen to your conversation now. Listen to your end of conversation. When you're trying to forgive somebody, when you're trying to get past something, you're going to hear Satan say, yeah, but. Because he knows if he can get you to get to but, he knows that you have just erased all that you said. Don't get in the but game with him. In fact, I tell you, don't even get in a conversation with him because you can't win. He's the master of the but and the unforgiveness. You got to stay in the word. Every time he comes with the yeah, but, you tell him what God said. That's how you fight that. Jesus already won the battle. He gave you the words. He told you what to say. Just say it. That's the work. Again, I don't want to beat a dead horse to death. But this is heavy on my heart, and I know it's for somebody out there. If you feel the pressure in your stomach and you feel the pressure in your heart and your spirit and your head is spinning, it's for you. Don't waste any time. Move immediately into having that conversation with your mother and your daughter. You need me, you can give me a call, give me an email, and I'll help you have the conversation. And it's on me. No charge. I will help you have the conversation, enter into that conversation. Why don't you just email me at drbessie, @gmail.com. Give me your name and your phone number, and I'll call you. It's drbessie1 @gmail.com. Because it's going to take forgiveness to get you into peace. And that peace in your heart is the starting point. And as I say to mothers and daughters out there, trust God, have faith in his word, and watch his word manifest into your mother and daughter relationship. And how do you do that? You do it through the words, because your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions create your reality. So if you don't like where you are, it's very easy. Simply change what you say. Because God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. God bless you. Again, wake up. Wake up. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, great, great. Boy, I wanted to mention that I had an opportunity to meet Dr. Bessie many years ago. She's a phenomenal woman. We met in North Carolina at Johnson C. Smith University, actually at a parking lot. Apparently, we both had attended a business workshop. My mother lived down the street from Johnson C. University. I had many emotions and crying 2 times while listening to you speak. My mother passed 6 months ago, but Dr. Bessie was very influential with helping my mother and I bond together and coaches. I was blessed to have a phenomenal mother. She's such a classy woman. Oh, God, I can't say. There's so many wonderful things that I can say about my mom, the things that she instilled in me, her go-getter spirit. She was very supportive. She was at very supportive of everything that my brothers and I were a part of. She was there. She was our cheerleader. But what happened was, one day, I always knew that I wasn't going to be always living in the state where I live. So I told my mother, I said, well, is this all that there is to life? You know, you're born, you're raised, and you stay here, and you get married, and you have a family. And she said, well, no, she said that this is one part of the world when you remember that you're just one dot. And don't be afraid to explore the world. She says, I'm mommy bird, your baby bird. My job is to nurture you and to instill in you everything that you need to prepare you. But by instinct, as a baby bird, you would know when to fly away from the nest. So I flew away from the nest. Well, what happened was mama bird flew with me, probably about 6 months later. And I was sharing with Dr. Bessie, I believe that that was a time where it really damaged our relationship. Now, we had a phenomenal relationship all the way up until my 20s, early 20s. And here I go, I relocate to another state. And my mother, because my mother and I were really like good friends, she always told me, you can talk to me about anything. So I had a trusting relationship, you know, with my mother, and we had a good bond. But when my mother told me that, I knew when it was time for me to leave. So when she moved, she left everything that she was been in her home for probably 30 or 40-something years, and she moved to join her baby bird. Now, I'm just painting a picture, but it's a true picture. Here I was, ready to be independent because I've always been at home. I had went to college. My mother had founded her own. She did Christian Charm classes. She went into the inner city, and her and a couple young ladies actually offered these programs in Change and Transform, Inner Beauty versus Outer Beauty. So I was there with my mother like her shadow. But when I moved, it really hindered our relationship. And she took it as rejection, and I really wasn't trying to reject her. I was just really trying to find myself and to really to be independent. Okay, so what happened was that she ended up moving, and that's when she moved to North Carolina, and our relationship was really never the same. God, with his blessings and sovereignty, had me to meet Dr. Bessie probably about maybe 10 years ago in a parking lot. And I'm standing there because here I am, the daughter. I don't have any resentment or anything. Here I am, the daughter, wanting to have this relationship that I had with her prior to, for years had gone by, and it was like a breach. We didn't communicate. I would send her letters, and she just became numb to me. And so I mentioned it to Dr. Bessie. And we had went to some of the coaching classes, and Dr. Bessie would say, okay, you tell me what would you want from your daughter. So her mother says, I would like for her to call me at least once a week. So I say, I would like for you to listen, to take the time and to listen, because the majority of times when we were together, my mother didn't do it. It wasn't intentionally. She would dominate the entire conversation. And even when a person would ask me something about maybe how have I been or whatever, instead of me answering, she would answer for me. And these things, because, you know, if you don't sit down and say, okay, the communication, this, when you do that, I feel like this or this bothers me. So, We did communicate with each other. Well, here I am, the daughter. And the daughter, I want to say this to mothers. Allow your daughter or your son. My mother did a phenomenal job, the foundational part. She didn't have a good model, I guess, with her parents. She didn't have a good relationship with her mother. So I begin to see it filtrate in mine. So here I am, the daughter, stepping up saying, no, let me get the help that we need. Dr. Bessie comes into the picture. I'm doing everything I possibly can, but my mom never really stepped up and did her part. She passed June 2012, last year, about 6 months. And when you were talking about the funeral and everything, I don't have any regrets at all. I walked in complete forgiveness with my mom, even though she still harbor a lot of, I don't really know what it was. I don't know if it was the abandonment, some things that had happened where her mother had told her, when her mother had gotten pregnant with my mother, my grandmother said that when I have this baby, you won't count. So that automatically, that rejection my mother received, and so when I moved, she came to be with me, she took it as rejection. And our relationship had never really healed, to be honest. I did my part. No one can force a person. Well, we did have the funeral, and I'm going to back up a little bit. Every time I found out from my siblings that my mother, she started to, when she first got diagnosed with skin cancer, I came immediately. I drove 7 to 8 hours. I stopped everything to care for my mom. I did that numerous times. And then at the end, when I first came, it was really, and I didn't really understand it because I said, well, we're both Christian women. We should be acting better than this. I mean, if we both are going to church every day and we're reading the word, something's just not right. Well, when I got over to my brother's house because he was caring for her, and after she got out the hospital with her first treatment, she wasn't speaking to me. I mean, I would go in, here I am, drove 8 hours to care for her, and she just gets silent. So we sit down and we talk, and she said that no one really came out and said what was the role, what they needed me to do, so we need to have a schedule. We need to communicate. So we communicated, and then she came out and said, well, my brother said, well, we want to take mom home so we could care for mom. I said, okay. Well, my mom said, well, I'm okay. I don't. You don't need to come over. So I communicated that to my brother, and he said that, well, mom, you know, your daughter came to be able to help and to help free me up because my brother has his own business, and he was really the major caregiver, and I came. My other sibling didn't want to come because of the bad relationship she had formed with him. But here I am walking in forgiveness. I came, and my brother, I really commend him. He stepped up, and he said that, mom, if you would have had cancer all throughout your body, they were grateful to be able to catch it, and they removed your toe. But what if the cancer spread all through your body? Would your reaction still be the same towards your daughter that you don't want her to come over to your home? And what is the reason why you don't want her to come over to your home? And, you know, I was crying. I was going through. I'd been trying so many years. I had Dr. Bessie to help and whatever. And her heart turned cold. But my brother was able to do like a little coaching exercise with us. And I was able to care for her. But as a daughter, I can say that mothers and daughters, that you have to walk in forgiveness. Mothers, we all have to examine ourselves in our lives. Here my mother had a brother that he didn't want to come when she got ill because when he got ill, she came to the hospital and he was there with his wife. She told him, I will always be your mother and mothers aren't replaceable, but wives are. So my brother said, no, my wife is not replaceable. She was used to having the center attention all the time. That was her. If you didn't make a big deal, a big ground deal with her, she would just excommunicate you. If you stood up to her, you got excommunicated. So me and my brother, who lives in another state, we got excommunicated, and the one that was her caregiver was the one that she pretty much cared. They had a good relationship because he was always the one that kissed up to her. So that was basically, I don't have any regrets or anything because I did everything. I walked in love, and I praise God for Dr. Bessie and her coaching and her wisdom that she's instilled in me. And that's the story that I want to share. I went to the funeral 6 months ago, and the first 20 years was wonderful, and then after that, you know, it just was never the same.
Wow. Well, I allowed you to go ahead and tell that story, you know. Wow. I think a lot of mothers and daughters out there needed to hear that. And I thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I never shared that publicly or with anybody. Just pretty much, you know, kept it, you know, to myself, like my close sibling, he knows. And, you know, you have to think about it. And now
okay.
Here you are. You have siblings, and even when she was ill, one of them didn't want to come. He said the same thing that I said. She was wonderful for those years when we were young. But when we became adults, when we became independent, she just could not relinquish. I don't want to say relinquish because, you know, you always have that bond. You always are your mother, and we always are the son and daughter. But it was like she just had to have this controlling, even when he got married. In other words, she told him, you're going to choose me over her. And when he said, this is my wife, she's not going anywhere, she just excommunicated him.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you right there. What I want to say to you is that I hear you and I feel you. I know that you're at peace. I can hear that in your spirit.
Yes.
I'm going to say to the audience that... Frida and I met, like you said, in a parking lot. God has assignments for you all over the place. in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And after talking, this was in 2000, actually. It was in 2000.
Yes.
And we, Frida worked with me and mother and daughter and helped with the mother and daughter. We were doing the mother and daughter workshop at the convention center in Charlotte, downtown. And she was there with us. She worked. She answered the phone. She did everything. Once, you know, we connected, I mean, just like, boom, like we've known each other. And many people know about you because of my close friends and family often hear me talk about the time when I told God I wasn't going to do that workshop. I said, I'm just not going to do it. it's not working for me, and I don't have the money, and you know, I'm just not going to do this, Lord. I'm tired. And I just started doing the workshops in September of 99, but I just thought God was going to give me all this money. But long story short, I got sick. And I came down with something just all of a sudden. And I could not get myself together. I could not. And this was like on Wednesday, I think Tuesday, Wednesday. And you called me and you said, I'm coming in. I wouldn't let anybody come in. I wouldn't let my daughter come in because I didn't know what I had. I thought she'd take it back to the kids. And I was crawling around, no bath. Excuse this, but this is the truth. I was too sore. Couldn't get into the tub. I was just like this hanging out. And I was crawling to the floor, to the door, and people were dropping food off. And then you called me and said, you know what? I'm coming in there. I am coming in. I'm working with these kids every day. And I have some garlic, and I have some, you grind up some lemon rinds and whatever it was. You can open the door, I'm coming in.
That's true.
And she came in, and she did all that to doctor me up. And after she left, I just looked up, and I said, Lord, whatever it is that I've done, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Can we just start all over again? And I'm telling you, a few hours later, I was like nothing had happened to me.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend from Maryland, she came down, Dr. Magruder came down, my daughter came from Winston, and you were there. We put together one of the most exciting conferences for mothers and daughters at that convention center. And all of a sudden, I moved to Indiana. We lost contact, and I hadn't heard from Frida all of those years, and she found me, what, about 2 months ago, a month
yes.
ago?
She yes.
said, I did whatever to find you because I'm at a point in my life that I needed to have you coach me into my destiny.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, how many times have I thought about you trying to figure out where you were? So when God put people in your life, I'm just saying all of that to say this, you're there for an assignment, and then you do what you do. But that person and what I'm seeing now, people that were in my past with mothers and daughters are all coming back to my present. But thank you for sharing that. I have a couple more people on the line. At least want to give them a little shout to let them say something. I thank you for sharing it, and I allow you to do it because I knew it was a story that everybody wanted to hear the end to it. And you know what? Your mother loves you. You know she did. Sometimes
yes.
It's the hardest thing in the world to give up on your baby. You're the only girl.
Right.
And I remember that time. I remember when you said to me, I was just trying to get my freedom. I'm living my life. And you moved to this the ATL. here she comes, into my life, yep. Into my city, and interrupted my flow. But you know what? Sometimes it's the hardest thing for a mother. Either they distance themselves too far or they cannot let go. And that emptiness syndrome, she had placed you in the place as her companion. And she didn't know how to do it. Because if she left the business that she had put together, been working 30-some years, gave all of that up to follow you to Atlanta, then, you know, she just didn't wake up one morning and decide to do it. She's been actually tormented for years, probably trying during that time trying to figure out, I lost my best friend. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? So even with all of that, you know she loves you, and she knows that you love her. So
yes.
I thank you for sharing, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, too.
All right, stay on. Okay, what a wonderful story. I'll be right with you, Carlos. I'm going to give everybody a few minutes just to say something. We have Cynthia here. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. What an awesome story to be told. Just thank you for allowing me to share a couple of minutes. And what came to my mind was the key words you said this morning was to deal with it. You got to deal with it. It's not enough to just say get over it because, you know what, we really need to get over it. But until you deal with those negative emotions that's attached to the pain and disappointment, there's just really no way of getting over it until you decide to let go of those negative emotions. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts are brought on by those negative emotions still attached to those events.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And until you deal with those negative emotions, you are going to pretty much stay in the position that you're in with that relationship. And it might not be on you. It might be on the other person that has caused these disappointments and pains, but until you decide to let go, you're both going to be walking in that unforgiveness.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous place to be.
And you know, because you coached me with my mother relationship, and you challenged me is what you did, and you mentioned the word challenge when you first came on this morning. It is a challenge. And you challenged me, and I'm so grateful that I took that challenge because it was in that challenge that I had 2 years with my mom. And it was just, there was just no words to say what those 2 years did for a 48-year-old, 2-year-old, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was still so very young. Because I was taken from my mom when I was about 18 months old. And so I was in that place up until I had those 2 years. I caught up.
Right.
I'm telling you.
And just when you get into that conversation with your mother, you got those answers that you need, and you start, you know, and then all of a sudden you just move right into the present. Right into the present. And then now you live in this wonderful life, and you have wonderful stories about your mother. I just pray and hope that all of your siblings could have gotten the same thing, or did they get the same thing? I don't know. But I pray, because I'm telling you, unfinished business is something else. Thank you for sharing.
It is. You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing. God bless you, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Good morning, Janice. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I wasn't expecting you to be on this morning, but go ahead. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Yes. I just want to, I'm really enjoying the show. And what really touched my spirit this morning, it is a wake-up call. As mothers, as daughters, as people in general, it's just time that we don't walk in forgiveness. And, you know, as Cynthia just said, spoke about forgiveness and what we need to, you know, put it all behind us. And a lot of times people just need to just transform their mind. The Bible said we have to be renewed by transforming our minds. And so to do that, you've got to get in the Word of God. And I just feel that people will fall more in love with Jesus. We're going to go through, but when you transform your mind with the Word of God, and fall more in love with him, and God, ask him to guide you. Ask him for his direction. Ask him to carry you. You know, it's going to be okay. This week has been a rough week for me. A church friend of mine in her mid-40s was sitting down with her mom, and just all of a sudden, this past Saturday, just passed out, and she's been in a coma from Saturday till this day. So they don't know what's going on. And, I mean, just sitting having a conversation, and they were so close. So, yes, it is a wake-up call. Yes, it is time to put aside who did what and who didn't do and, you know, and put it behind you. And if you can't, then you go to a mentor like Dr. Vetz. You go to a spiritual leader. You go with an open mind, asking God to speak through them and not want that person to say what you want them to tell you, but to tell you the truth. A lot of times we want people to agree with us and be on our side and say what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the truth. So you do that. But it's just a wake-up call in all areas of our lives to get closer to God, to do the right thing, and to treat each other with love, an agape love, an unconditional love.
Yes, Lord. Well, I thank you for your comments, and that is so true. We have got to. I always say, there's nothing, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, there is nothing that should keep you from having a relationship with your mother, your daughter. I just cannot fathom that. I mean, you know, what is it? Words? Feelings? And you said, that's a whole human being? That is. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate you and your comments. God bless you. There is nothing that should keep you from your having that mother and daughter relationship. Now, like I said earlier, I know that God is speaking to you. I know you know that. Now, you can keep overriding that, but God will get your attention. He will get your attention. And you don't want him to do what he does best. He'll touch your heart. He'll get you where it really gets to your heart. And sometimes you say, why? We don't know why. But we know one thing. Let's do all that we can do so that if something happens, we can look at God and say, God, I know I've done all that I possibly could do. At least be clear with yourself. All right, I appreciate you all listening. I appreciate it. We went over time today. I appreciate you staying on. God bless you. I thank Frieda for telling her story. It was a wonderful story. It's one that every mother and daughter should hear. Started out with 20 beautiful years, and then all of a sudden, baby bird left the nest, and then the mama bird just couldn't handle it. One thing, that's what I tell everybody when I'm going into counseling, something happened. One thing happened, and it's never the same. You got to work to make sure, but you got to first identify what was that one thing and then apologize and amend for that one thing before you can move forward. It's never going to happen until you address the initial thing that created the ripple in your relationship. God bless you. Pass this on to every mother and daughter you see. Make a card, say wake up call for mothers and daughters. Pass it out. Send out emails, wake up call for mothers and daughters. Please, I challenge every last one of you because we're going to continue this for a few weeks. I can feel it in my spirit. try. I'm asking each of you to bring two people to share their story next week. Two people to the radio show. All right? Let's help other mothers and daughters become better in their relationship, because we know what it's like to go through. Have a blessed week. God bless you, and I love you. Bye-bye.